We are back on the record at 1:42 PM.
Okay. So we now have her email in front of us.
Mr. Chairman, might I suggest it be marked as Exhibit D?
Yes, thank you. Mark this as Exhibit D. Does the board have any questions for Ms. Sanford related to this email or her testimony?
I would like to ask Ms. Donahue questions.
Let's take care of this one first.
Well, this is about Ms. Donahue.
I know, but you have to conclude your witness first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've concluded.
We're just trying to figure out if anybody on the board is done with her. So she doesn't have to keep sitting there. Okay?
And, Mr. Chairman, it might be appropriate to also check with Ms. Baskin because now she has the document in front of her.
Oh, okay.
Give me your cord. It's not plugged in.
I'm sorry?
Your computer is not plugged in.
Okay. Since the board doesn't seem to have any questions, does the Attorney General have any questions for the witness or relative to this document?
She's answered what I needed to know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So I think we're done. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Would you like to call another witness, or would you like to come back to one of your previous witnesses?
I would like to go back to Dr. Donahue, if that's okay. So you testified earlier, Dr. Donahue, that you did receive this email.
I did.
And you confirmed it through email back to Marcy?
Yes, that's correct.
So as part of, and I know you testified earlier, too, that you were not investigator at the time of this email. And I'm curious as to why this was not forwarded to the investigator to do any follow-up conversation or interview with Marcy.
So, Mr. Kushner, the process for any complaint is that once the investigative report is done, the one that was sent you for the initial review, no further evidence is accepted into the case at that time. The board will base the merits of whatever they decide to do. In this case, they decided to move to a formal hearing in your case, and no other additional information or evidence is allowed to be entered in. The point of the formal is that you could bring that evidence to the board as evidence after the fact, which is what we've done here, but no investigation was applicable on my part based upon the letter. I accepted the letter, I let her know I received it, but it was your responsibility to bring that letter as an exhibit today.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'd like to call another witness.
I have some questions for Ms. Donahue.
Okay,
what is the date on this email, Ms. Donahue?
The date is November 7th, 2018.
All right, okay, and take a look at the date on the informal hearing when this matter was moved to a formal hearing. What was the date of that date?
I don't know, dear. Where is that? Where are you going to, can you direct me to it?
It's State's Exhibit 12. It's the transcript.
Oh, the transcript.
Yeah,
thank you.
It's on the first page.
October 23rd, 2018.
All right, so this was received after the board moved the case to formal hearing.
That's
Is that correct.
Correct.
All right, so there was no, you did not, the board did not not investigate information that
That's
they should have investigated. Is that a fair statement?
That's a fair statement.
Okay, all right. And in fact, wasn't the complaint and notice of hearing in this case drafted, I believe it was November, beginning of November.
That's correct.
Okay, all right. So, according to your policies, again, like you stated, Mr. Kushner this is his opportunity to bring in evidence and mitigating evidence or any other evidence for his case in chief.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. So, in no way has the state interfered with his ability to do that.
No.
In fact, on the break, didn't you make copies of the email for him?
I did, and we distributed it to the board for a review.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Does anybody on the board have any questions for Ms. Donahue? Okay, and all right, it's back in your court.
Yes, please. I would like to call Mr. Alex Boston, who is a certified nurse, CNA certified nursing assistant.
Here he comes back. Okay.
Mr. Boston?
Yes.
You're up.
Okay, let the record remember, he has been sworn in.
Correct.
Okay.
I kind of would like to be able to see him, so if he could sit there, I would like that. I appreciate it. Thank you.
I have no objection.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
So, Mr. Boston, when did you and I first make acquaintances?
It was at my work about, I think, August or September 2017.
Okay. What can you describe your work? Where did you work at that time?
I was working at an assisted living center, Sante North Scottsdale.
Okay, and what was your role at Sante North Scottsdale?
I was a CNA.
What is a CNA?
Certified nurse assistant.
What else?
I also helped with
Place some water.
Yeah, I had my water all day sitting here.
I'm sorry, you need to testify from your memory.
You came in as and said you were a marketing director for the company Sun Valley, and I was helping with home services.
What does that
referral?
Mean? Okay. So what does that mean, home services?
Helping patients get back home.
Two roles as there at that location where you worked as a CNA?
Helping with referrals and as a CNA, but I don't understand.
Okay. Are you still employed there?
No, I'm not.
I'm sorry, I can't hear the witness very well.
Yeah, you just speak a little louder.
When I first came to market our services, Valley of the Sun Home Care, how did I introduce myself?
As a marketing director of the home.
Did I ever introduce myself as a physical therapist? Do you know what a physical therapist is? How many times did I come into your facility to market services?
I don't remember you coming in about 3 or 4 times.
Okay. And did I ever mention my own past experiences? What did I, to the best of your memory, what did I talk about with myself as far as my past experiences?
I don't really recall anything more than so long ago. All I remember is you talking about doing marketing for home services.
anybody ever mentioned that I was in healthcare before.
He stated he didn't remember.
Okay. No other questions?
The state like to?
Yes, the state would.
Cross-examine?
Yes. Mr. Bostic, what's the status of your CNA certificate now?
I am no longer practicing.
Okay, is it, how did you terminate your self with the nursing board? You're no longer practicing. So if I were to check the website, what would I see?
No, I'm not certified anymore.
Okay. Was there disciplinary action taken against your CNA?
Relevance. No, my father passed away at the time, and I took leave, and I just didn't feel any interested in the job anymore.
Okay. All right. So you just let it go. Okay. Now, you said that you worked at Santas in North Scottsdale as a CNA. Okay. So you were doing hands-on patient care.
Yes.
Okay. All right, and in that, were you in the administrative team? Were you an administrator for them?
No.
Okay. Do you have any background or education in business administration?
No.
So you stated that you became acquainted with, I want to make sure I understand your testimony, with Mr. Kushner a couple times during September and August 2017. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
And did you make any business decision for Santas of North Scottsdale? Were you in the authority to make any business? All right. Okay. Did so you never you were a CNA, so you never made any type of email communications with Mr. Kushner? That wasn't your role, was it?
No,
you just met him, kind of friendly, coming to the
sales.
Okay. All right. Are you friends now?
No.
All right. How did you come here today? Well, why are you here today?
Contacted me a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. asking if I could testify. I tried to remember who he was, because it was so long ago. And I just remember helping out. Home care.
Okay. All right.
And I just remember him coming in, and I just remember him stating that he was marketing director for Sun Valley company, mm-hmm. stating that he was trying to promote and sell what he needed to do for his business.
Okay.
And I mean, I wasn't there long, and I just remember him. From the guy.
Okay. So it was just kind of a very casual conversation.
Yeah. I remember facing the name.
Okay. All right. But when he called you, you really couldn't even remember who he was or what it was about.
I mean, I eventually did, but
okay.
Not right off the bat.
All right. And what did he tell you about these proceedings today?
Not much. Basically, just asked me if he ever stated that he was therapist that if asked that, and I asked why, and I said no, and so that's basically it. I didn't know I was going to be here for 3 hours.
Right. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. And you don't have any other dealings with him, his position at Valley of Sun?
No.
That's fair. So.
No.
All right, and you had no idea what else he was doing other than the 3 or 4 times he had casual conversations with you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, okay. All right, thank you, Mr. Hoskin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything further.
Just another follow-up question or two. When you were in your position, you testified that you were not basically on the administrative or the decision-making team. Does that include when you have a referral, you talk to your nurses about referring patients that were being discharged from there to home? Did you also do that with the nursing staff and recommend companies?
I'm sorry, say the question again.
when, did you ever refer anybody to home health companies through the nursing staff?
Alex, you said that you helped with referrals and that your other role was as a CNA at this agency. Can you tell me a little bit about what helping with referrals means?
I was being trained to get in that field, and I never really followed through with it. And I was only there for a few months. Basically taking on the role of doing home care services and hiring, getting accounts with other companies. But other than that, I didn't really do much.
Okay, so are you saying that that was maybe a secondary role and your primary role was patient care?
Any other questions? Okay. Then thank you very much. You're free.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Krishner, do you have any other witnesses you'd like to call?
I would like to testify for myself.
What's going to happen is that once you've submitted all, your testimonies and witnesses, then we'll go through a closing argument, and then you'll have a statement, and then we'll have a deliberation. So,
okay.
It sounds like that's where yours, what you want to do is that where it's going to fit in.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes to what he said.
Okay. Does that mean you're going to testify additionally to what you've already testified to, or are we ready for closing?
Ready for closing.
Okay.
Thank
I just want to make sure
we clear the record.
Thank you.
Yes.
Appreciate that. Okay. So this concludes the evidentiary portion of the administrative hearing. The board will now hear closing arguments. Okay. State may present a closing argument.
State does. The state has a burden of proof in this case to establish the violations. And if you'll, we've had a lot of papers flying, so if you give me a moment just to locate what I need to locate. The state has a burden of proof and has established conclusively the violations. We're going to first talk about his work at Valley of the Sun because that was our last witness here. What do we know? We know that we received information from Valley of the Sun, and we have information and documentary evidence. We have Mr. Kushner's resume that he went ahead and provided. Now, he said that it was up on Indeed. It was up on a website. It was pulled down, and that became the basis of why, of how he got offered the job. However, we've heard no testimony. In fact, we've heard testimony that he did not correct it, that he did not update it, that he didn't state that he was not a physical therapist. The resume in and of itself was misleading because he was holding himself out. It's one thing to hold yourself out to have an education that he was holding himself out as a physical therapist. Never, again, never corrected that. Through Ms. Donahue's testimony, Mr. Tarras relied on that. He thought he was a physical therapist. He had no idea that his license was suspended. Turning to what he did, what his job was, he was involved in marketing. And as we discussed earlier under ARS 3020.01.12, the definition of physical therapy can involve administration. It can involve non-clinical functioning. And in this case, Mr. Kushner was holding himself as a credentialed physical therapist. He did when he was hired. It's on his business cards. It's on his email. What do we know about what Mr. Kushner did when he was there? Well, he was in marketing. He made all these business calls. He made it look like 50 a week that were in person, where one would pass out a business card. They were by email, where it stated his credentials, and they were in person. Mr. Kushner was holding himself out as a physical therapist when he was working for Valley of the Sun. Additionally, Mr. Tarras stated that when they were on a visit, Mr. Kushner offered to provide physical therapy services when he was suspended. So all three of those pieces of evidence establish that he was in violation of his board order. Now let's take a look, let's examine the testimony of the last witness, Mr. Boston. Mr. Boston is a very well-intended young man, came here to talk about Mr. Kushner, but his testimony really provided you with no other evidence other than he was a nice guy and tried to testify on behalf of Mr. Kushner. He was not in a position of power. He was not in administration. He did not make any decisions. He was a CNA. He was somebody that he spoke to, three times to Mr. Kushner, very casually. He had no authority. He had no ability to act. It was just some guy that he interacted with that may or may have made some very minor referrals as a certified nursing assistant. He was not a licensed professional nurse. He was not on their admin team. He made none of those decisions. So he had he has no knowledge. He had nothing to share with you other than the fact that he was well-intended. And in fact, he said when Mr. Kushner contacted him, he goes, I kind of really remember the guy. He couldn't remember dates. He really couldn't remember much of anything. So I don't think that really helped Mr. Kushner. Turning to the other, and one other thing. Mr. Kushner stated that the emails contained his PT credentials and he had really no control over that. Well, we don't have any evidence. We don't have anything that said that he went in there affirmatively and told Mr. Tarras, I'm not a physical therapist. I do not want to get in trouble with the physical therapy board. My license is suspended, or I'm not practicing right now. I don't want there to be any confusion. It should just say Scott Kushner. He didn't do that. We don't have any evidence to say that he contacted him and said, or even an email communication that said, I don't want to use this because I don't want there to be any confusion. I don't want to get in trouble with the PT board. Didn't happen. Now, turning to the SAA meeting requirements. Mr. Kushner has made some inconsistent statements to this board. And let me start out with his answer. Sorry. He filed an answer, and when he filed his answer to the board, that is under circumstances when an individual is taking the time to think about what they're saying. His license is on the line. He's already been before the board. He's already had 3 consent agreements. He's already agreed to suspend his license. SAA meetings, it's part of his rehabilitation. It's something that he should be invested in. It's something that he should care about. So now he's having to respond to the board and let the board know his version. So this is a time when somebody's really going to be honest. And what does he tell you all? This is really important, and it is
States Exhibit 7. He said, so on some occasions, MR actually went with me to SAA meetings in Anthem when she was not having to actively care for her mother-in-law to be a support system. On those nights, she would sign for me. That's his words. He told you in written word that she went with him. And we know when we take a look at the transcript of the informal hearing, and this occurred in October, he said she didn't go. She said she didn't go. She didn't go. But that's not what he wrote to you. That's not an individual that is rehabilitated. That's not an individual that has faced up to their ethical issues and resolved them. He simply hadn't done it. What else did Mr. Kushner write to you, write to the board? He told them he couldn't get anybody to sign. There wasn't anybody. On other occasions, I was unable to have anyone sign my slip for me. Again, it was due to the nature of anonymity. It happened occasionally, but very rare, to see the same person or even people there from meeting to meeting. MR, knowing that I had gone but could not accompany me, offered to sign her initials as well. Again, she did this for me because she had known that I had gone, but was unable to accompany me. Again, those are Mr. Kushner's words. Again, what has he said? She didn't go. What has he said? She's a villain. She's a liar. I'm going to hire a lawyer, and my lawyer has intimidated her to the point that the lawyer sent a letter and said, you testify, we're going to sue you. So that's what we know. That is what you know has been written. Right, now let's take a look at our witness, Marcy Stanford. What did Marcy tell y'all? Another well-intended person. She's trying to help Mr. Kushner. She said she really didn't know him. She said he approached her, she thinks, around Thanksgiving. She didn't really remember him. She really couldn't remember dates. She couldn't really remember anything. She didn't have a good memory, and she was being honest with you because she could not remember anything. I believe that was credible. She didn't know anything. Right, so some of the things she said were, she couldn't remember. She said she kind of noticed him there, but they really didn't really talk. Then she did go ahead and meet him, and he contacted her, and on the phone, he got together with her to come up with these dates. And she said, under oath, that these dates were correct. And Mr. Kushner said, under oath, that these dates were correct. Now let's see what else Mr. Kushner said. Take a look at these dates. So Ms. Standifer says that on these dates, she knows he was there, even though we all saw her, and we all saw her testify, that she was very confused. She couldn't really remember. She said, yeah, I saw him at the meeting. So we know that much. But as far as dates and times, those were suggested by Mr. Kushner. And the dates and times, let's take a look at what Mr. Kushner, if you could turn to States Exhibit 6. What did Mr. Kushner put on 12-18? 2017, no meeting due to a holiday week. That's what Mr. Kushner put. And when he helped Marcy to write the email, was it saying the email? The dates were 12-28-17. A discrepancy. A significant discrepancy. Marcy was coached, but Marcy made a mistake because Marcy couldn't remember. An individual that is taking part in their rehabilitation, going to an SAA meeting should be pretty simple. We don't have anything simple here. We have a lot of confusion. We have a lot of different stories. It's not indicative of moving forward. That's not indicative of being safe.
the evidence shows that we really don't really know what happened at those exit meetings. And we don't really know Mr. Kushner left. We know that Mr. Kushner has made a lot of inconsistent statements, both in writing and under oath to this board. He's non-compliant with his consent decree. So the next thing that this board has to decide is what to do. He's already been suspended. He's already been through an ethics probing course. He's already been to counseling. And it didn't seem to work. So this board has a tough decision to make. What your options are at a formal hearing are all of your disciplinary options. You can use them singly, or you can use them together. And Mr. Talier can advise you of this. You could revoke his license and impose a civil penalty. You have everything in front of you. But what you do know is suspension didn't work. What you do know is probation didn't work. And what you do know is that the ethics remediation course didn't work. So in conclusion, on behalf of the state of Arizona, I believe that at this point in time, Mr. Kushner is not regulatable. If the board chooses to revoke his license, the state's position is that that needs to be coupled with a civil penalty also. And that can be done under the law. Thank you.
Would you like to make your closing argument?
Yes, I would. I'm kind of flabbergasted, to be honest with you. I was taking some notes as the attorney was doing her final closings. So there's never been any evidence submitted that I ever offered to provide any physical therapy services to anybody in the public. Anybody. That was part of my probation of the suspension. I did not have any control of my business cards. I actually even testified at the informal hearing that I actually gave them back to him. So for Jude to testify that I ordered 2 boxes of 1,000 business cards each, it just doesn't make sense for the amount of time that I was there. I did not come up with the 2 titles. He did. And he said that he wanted me to give 1 card to administrative personnel that I met with, and another card to a staff member. So basically, they look at me as 2 different roles, psychologically, I would assume. Regarding Mr. Boston's testimony, he was very credible. He stated that he did see me. He stated that I did not present myself as a physical therapist. Regarding Ms. Stanifer's testimony, regarding the dates, which that could have been just a slip up. Who knows about writing dates and what happened. When I was going over the information with her on the phone, it was the Thursdays. It wasn't going back to see, was this a holiday? Was that a holiday? So that's why the dates were all conclusive during that week. I never presented myself as a physical therapist. I don't know what to say. She was trying to discredit both of my witnesses, which, taking their time to come out here and, sticking up for someone that they believe in, I think also says a lot. It's been how long since we've been here, and I appreciate them for doing that. So again, to reiterate, when Jude and I, we did have a conversation about providing physical therapy when we did see a patient, was it actually at an assisted living facility? And again, it wasn't anything to do at that time. It was basically saying, okay, let's get something going in the future. We could have a great company together working, you know, home health care services at one time and, you know, physical therapy services. But again, it was kind of a dreaming banter, hey, let's get together and do something in the future. It wasn't anything, oh, let's do this now because I can. And I mean, when it comes down to it, it's a lot of it is hearsay, unfortunately. A lot of it is, you know, Jude's word against me, against Brian. When I was in the informal hearing, many of you weren't here, and I was asked, why would he do that to me? Or why would he say something against me? You know, and my answer is going to be the same, because one event there, I was visiting an assisted living facility, and my car hit a curb in the assisted living facility's property, assisted living facility's property. So I found out the curb was too high regarding city ordinance, and I brought it up to the assisted living facility. So they in turn didn't like that. They sent a letter to Jude, I believe, and then that's when, you know, things started going south between. I don't really know what else to say, so
thank you, please. Okay. Stay and have a quick rebuttal.
I think it speaks for itself. A lot of inconsistencies. One thing that is pretty resounding, what Mr. Kushner just said, is that Ms. Sandifer, and he was going over her testimony, maybe she made a slip up when she typed. Ms. Sandifer couldn't remember any dates. She really couldn't. You all are going to make that credibility determination as far as that's concerned. There isn't hearsay that supports this. It's the documentary evidence. It's statements that Mr. Kushner has made under oath in a prior informal proceedings prior before this board, and it's based on his written statements he made here today. And the evidence speaks for itself.
Do I have a follow-up?
Not really.
Not really.
But
because the burden is on the state has the last word.
So if you say something, then she says something again.
Oh. It's something I meant to say, but I forgot.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Having heard the testimony and reviewed the evidence and arguments of the parties, the board will now discuss the case. The board will begin with general discussions or entertain motions. And so the time of gathering additional information is open. Okay, so who would like to start off?
Well, I'll just start with attending the SAA meetings. There's only 3 months of evidence that tend to happen to coincide with the 3 months that MR also signed those documents. He was required to attend well over a year's worth of meetings, and we don't have that evidence in front of us.
Okay. I would just like to make a comment and just speculation. Just thinking about having been in business for a long time and having had multiple business cards that have come back with errors, my phone number or address, and how easy it could be potentially to correct an error on a business card that misrepresents how to contact me. I do have some thoughts about the comments about not being able to correct anything with business cards.
Okay. Well, one of the first things we need to do is we need to determine, have a discussion on the findings of fact. Okay? So, we want to make a motion relative to the findings of fact.
I'll
Is there a motion to adopt the contractual allegations?
Yes.
Okay. I move that we adopt the factual allegations of the complaint as findings of fact.
Second.
Then move and second. Discussion?
The only thing I'll add is that I found the state to provide more credible evidence, and that for me was more convincing.
I kind of concur with that. Mr. Kirshner gave a lot of conflicting evidence, stuff to mislead us. You know, hear something shiny, take your eyes off the ball type stuff. And didn't get to the heart of the matter at all. You know, the letter from his attorney threatening a witness that wanted to testify, that could sue and testify. You know, I don't know the definition of coercion for witnesses in a legal matter or this forum, but it certainly smacks of that. You know, it just, from A to Z, he has not demonstrated any consistency in his answers to the board, and you know, actions show almost a contempt of the board. And I just find it very disappointing because we have given him opportunities. And you know, it just what isn't right.
Any other discussion on the motion? Then I call the question.
So for the findings of fact, Dr. Bastille?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Findings of fact are accepted.
Okay. The second item we need to discuss is the conclusions of law. So do I hear a motion? All right. I will propose a motion that we adopt the alleged violation set forth in the complaint as the board's conclusions of law.
Second.
It's been moved and second. Discussion.
Dr. Bastille?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Conclusions of law adopted?
All right, the final issue for discussion is the board order. And as the Attorney General mentioned, that we have everything available to us. She has recommended that revocation and or fine is appropriate, but I'd like to hear some discussion.
Since you have given every opportunity to three more consent decrees, and here we are again, and giving conflicting testimony, been through the ethics, had suspension. I think we're at the point where the only thing left for us to do is to revoke his license, and I would add a civil penalty of $5,000 to that.
Would you like to make that a formal motion?
Yes. I move that we revoke his license and fined him $5,000 as a civil penalty.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, so that motion's up for discussion. I think I understand where you're coming from. I'm a little surprised at $5,000.
I think that's not excessive, but I think the revocation of his license is a...
So I think I'd be willing to entertain an amendment of amount, but I'd also like to hear some comments, discussion on that.
Okay, the reason I picked that, I want to drive home the point that, you know, making, you know, as we said in the, conclusions of law that we just voted on, that a false, deceptive, fraudulent, or misleading statements to the board and to the public is not to be tolerated. That he dealt with us deceptively, and I think he held himself out knowingly, and here's a person that we tried to help, and he continued on his ways. And I just want the board to make a point that is not to be tolerated.
I don't disagree. I think, in my mind, revocation is exactly, I mean, we would be doing that with a revocation without penalty, civil penalty. You wouldn't be able to practice.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, that sounds like a pretty big message. But any other comments, thoughts?
I'm not opposed to a civil penalty. I second in so we could have this discussion. I do feel like probation has been violated. And I also feel similarly to Michael that we don't want to keep seeing this. We don't want to see people that come before the board repeatedly and then, if they don't want to do what we've asked them to do, then that's their choice. But we don't have to concur with that or agree with that.
There is a limit on what we can impose as a civil penalty. There is a limit, and oh, I'm sorry, I probably should be speaking. I'll provide this to
let me get it.
So you have a cap on your informal hearing. So for the formal hearing, not more than $10,000 for each violation of this chapter.
All right, thank you.
So I personally feel like my hands are tied in the sense that it seems to me that the ethics course, the Pro-B course, the suspension, and the probation were not effective. So I feel as though the best course of action is revocation. $500. But $500 per violation is something that we're legally entitled to confer.
$10,000 per.
$10,000, thank you. And I mean, if we assumed, or if we cited our board orders, there's at least, I think, two to four infractions and violations on each board order. So I agree that a higher civil penalty would be warranted.
Okay, so we have a motion. Okay, it's been seconded. Unless somebody wants to make a formal amendment to that, that's what we're
Well, that's what you're in discussion of.
Right. So I've heard some discussion, but I haven't heard an amendment.
I'm not inclined to make one.
No, I don't either. Motion as it stands.
Okay. Is everyone ready for the vote then?
And to restate the motion, it's to revoke his license and to impose a $5,000 civil penalty.
Yes, that is the motion we're voting on.
Ready for the vote? Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Glynn?
Yes.
The motion passes.
This concludes the formal hearing. The board's decision will be reduced to a written order and served to you. Parties will have further appeal rights that will be explained in the board order. This concludes the matter. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Is everyone okay to finish up the last couple we have, or are you okay to? We've got the number 6E2, Heather Schoenberg.
You're done, thank
okay.
you.
Who's been waiting a very long time.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Mr. Tellier has left the table.
At 2:34.
At 2:34.
Are you okay if we begin while you're in transit?
You're fine.
thank you very much, Heather, for sitting through this. I'm sorry it's taken so long.
What number?
This is case number 18-31, and under item 6E2. And this is an initial review. So if somebody would like to give us a synopsis.
Mr. Belbauer, and would be happy to.
This is site 231. This is Heather Schoenberg. The director of nursing alleged that Ms. Schoenberg PT provided a bill for 2 days of service, but this book of services were not provided to patient GT. I submit this for your review.
Okay. Do you have anything you'd like to make a statement or anything?
I submitted the two letters. I don't have anything additional, but I just, I guess, verbally want to say that I just being in this whole process has made me kind of reevaluate my actions and just think more deeply on patient care. Since then, I've gotten a new job and I've gone through their, onboarding process where there's a lot of videos and classes about ethics and things like that. So just listening to those videos, it just kind of just makes me feel ashamed of what I did and just thankful for your time. But nothing additional now.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions?
I guess I'm just wondering why you didn't think that was inappropriate to begin with.
I know, it was. I guess I was just kind of caught in the moment and wanted to make that. Like, if I didn't see the patient, then I wouldn't make the money, and it wasn't appropriate at all.
Okay.
Thank you for your honesty.
Any other questions or?
Other than going through the onboarding process for you, what else can be done to learn on this? I mean, I guess, just, so now in my new position, I work at a rehab facility, so we go by drug scores, and
I guess I'm just very cautious of the time, make sure that's the time I actually did spend with the patient, just kind of reevaluate, am I doing what I'm saying I'm doing? I'm more thorough with my documentation and just making sure that I'm covering all my bases and just making sure I'm not doing anything that isn't ethical. And
this is an initial review. If I'm not mistaken, I think we could have consent order, right?
Correct.
Or we could move it to either an informal or formal.
Or dismiss, or advisory letter, or a non-disciplinary order.
Okay. So those are the options to us. Okay. I think if we moved it to an informal, we'd probably end up with a similar endpoint as if we did a consent order today. So we could just take care of it today, okay? Or we could move it to an informal. I don't think it's reached my criteria for a formal, okay? But I'm interested in other people's opinions.
Well, it is fraud.
It is. And yeah, it is. But we also have somebody who's willing to say, yeah, that was fraud. I was absolutely wrong, and I am very, very sorry. And this is what I've done so far.
And I certainly appreciate that. I don't know how the other board members feel, but I would be in favor of a consent agreement.
Yeah.
I would be too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, do you understand what a consent agreement would be?
Based on.
Yeah. You probably got a lot more education than you wanted.
Right.
So we would come up with something that we think would be appropriate, and then it would be formalized, and you would then agree to that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's move in that direction. Let me make a motion that we offer her a consent agreement, and in that she would be put on probation, and let's just say 2 years with the ability to reduce that.
Early termination,
thank you.
I'll second for discussion.
Oh, but we're not done yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Excuse me. we need to know what she's doing on probation.
I'm sorry.
I like that you were jumping in, though.
I think it would be worthwhile for her to attend a formal billing class.
Mm-hmm. How many hours?
Minimum of 3. We're not talking contact hours, right?
You're talking about hours.
Oh, hours.
Yes.
Hours.
So if you were doing CEU hours, would be 30. If you're doing hours, 3 is 3.
Okay, so I would say a minimum of 8 hours.
Clock hours,
thank you. I think...
I'd like to see if you can get up.
I was just going to... Yeah. I kind of debated with myself of not to throw that in. But I think it probably would be helpful because it all goes into documentation and putting down what you actually did. So do you want to combine it with a documentation course, because the two often go together?
They are two separate courses, though, just so you're aware. Ethics won't necessarily talk about documentation, and documentation won't necessarily talk about ethics.
You're in the process of making a motion, is that right?
Yes.
Can we talk through that too, or do I have to wait?
No, let's talk through it.
My other thought.
Well, you know what, Dr. Cornwell, what may be helpful is for not to make a motion, but just say, this is what I'm thinking for remediation,
okay.
You know? And then then you're not like in the
stuck.
Box. Then you get to talk.
Okay, so this is what I'm thinking.
So, right. Along those lines, I'm just curious because we had two applicants for licensure that committed the same thing as students, and I'm wondering if speaking to students about her experience in this particular might not necessarily be helpful as well.
Michael?
We have done that in the past.
We've done it in the past, and the problem we were having is the schools were not finding the time due to the curriculum restraints for it. So we did do it for a period of time, and that was good, and then we had to request that it wasn't done on behalf of the schools because they couldn't carve out the time to make it happen.
Which is unfortunate because I would just make time.
I always make time.
So it's just... So I think that would be I think that's a really good idea. Probably near the end of, you know, they completed everything else and had time to think and practice a little longer and where, but she's in a new job. What else is everyone thinking?
To me, the ethics is kind of the key. Because I think this is just ethical lamps. You know, she shows, you know, remorse on what she did, but, you know, it's hard to sometimes take the theoretical and put it into practice. Sometimes there's a disconnect about that, and maybe, you know, one of the ethics classes that, you know, the board has approved in the past, you know, like Pro B, would help her connect it to theoretical practice.
I like the idea of probiotics. It's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what we have so far is we're thinking still
mm-hmm.
probation, ethics, and
documentation.
What's the other one?
The formal building class.
Billing. That's what it was. Billing.
I mean, I only thought about the documentation. You know, she testified that she's much more. She's very diligent about her documentation. Her fraudulent documentation is very detailed. So I don't think we need to worry about detail.
Do you think we need to monitor her?
I'm going to jump in here,
quiet,
which may derail the discussion a little bit. We're still discussing, correct? There's no formal
motion. Yep, you're
motion,
in the discussion.
So
there's no motion on the floor.
Okay. So the reason I'm saying this, Heather, is I just want you to completely kind of understand the process. Are you aware of what happens during an initial review?
I guess you talk about the next steps.
Yes, we talk about the case, and as we're discussing here, we can have what's called a consent agreement.
Right.
We have a consent agreement that's generated right here. It sounds like you might be amenable to that, but I just want to make sure that you are aware that that same result could possibly happen if the process moves forward, right? So if the process moves forward to something that's called an initial
An informal hearing.
Right. We would still have the dialogue, but you would have a little more time to think about things. You can review the records that we have. I just want you to feel, I don't know if the word's empowered, but I want you to know that, you know, these are pretty serious allegations that will be with you as you move forward, and I just don't want you to feel like you're, in the interest of kind of lessening, you know, dealing with this in the future, that you will cut yourself short of understanding the process or of understanding the procedures that we're going through. So I just want to be, I was going to vote for actually moving it from an initial to an informal. Again, as we stated here, the result may be exactly the same kind of thing, but I just feel like that might give you more due process and more time. I don't know how much you're interested in that.
I think she makes a good point in that that in an informal, you would have access to everything we have, so you'd know exactly what you're...
So Dr. Conwell, I'll let you know, since you've been on the board, that the process is to provide them the investigative report upon request prior to the initial, and that Ms. that Heather has received that investigative report.
Okay.
So I turned myself in, and then whenever the documentation was available, I went and picked it up. So
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I know you have baby clearly, so my intent was only to sort of make sure that everyone feels comfortable with moving forward.
And certainly, if you want to have someone look over the consent for some for you to make sure that everything's okay. Well, all right, we're still in discussion. So, but I have, we're still talking about probation, we're talking about ethics, and we're talking about documentation. No, billing. Those three.
So I think I would propose a 6-hour ethic course.
Clock hours, or?
What we usually do.
6 hours.
Six hours?
Yeah, which is clock hours.
Mm-hmm. No, that's not the probe either.
So before you vote on this, you do need to do conclusions of law and findings of fact before you vote on your order.
Okay.
So we need to, before we need to kind of come out of the discussion. Okay. So do I have a motion on the findings of fact?
Well, Dr. Cornwell, I think at this point what you're going to do is you're going to offer the consent agreement. With the findings of facts and the conclusions of law and the terms, you're just going to offer it to her,
right?
Because you're not going to make the finding. And then once you go ahead and do that, it can be offer consent agreement, if not accepted within whatever days Kara normally
it's
does.
20 days.
20 days. Then it would move to the informal proceedings. So
right.
Okay.
So,
but you still have to identify the findings of fact and conclusion of law so we can put it in the consent.
Yes, you do. But I just wanted to make sure that you knew that it was, we're offering it to her, because I didn't hear that language, offer consent agreement. And that goes on Ms. Remick's, Vice President's, comments.
So I move that we adopt all the factual allegations in the complaint and initial review as findings of fact.
Second.
Any further discussion on that? I'll call the question.
Ms. Bastia?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Klim?
Yes.
Okay. I further move to adopt all the alleged violations set forth in the complaint as the board's conclusions of law.
Second.
Discussion? Call the question.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Okay.
Now you're to your order.
Now, right? So is everyone okay with what we discussed? I will make it a formal motion that we offer her a consent agreement with the conclusions of law and findings of fact as that we just voted on, and in that we put her on probation for 2 years with possibility of early termination, that she complete an ethics course of 6 clock hours, and a billing course of at least 8 hours.
I'd also like to include that these should be done in person.
Okay. I'll take that as a friendly amendment. And these would be approved by the board?
Correct.
By staff?
By board staff.
By board staff. Okay. All right. And that if she declines to sign the agreement for whatever reason, then this would automatically move to an informal hearing. Okay?
I second that.
Second.
Right. Ms. Hunter, that was you?
Yes.
Any discussions on that? Okay.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
No.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Ms. Remick, did you say no?
No, yes. I mean, no. I said
no. Did you vote against the motion?
I voted against.
Thank you.
Thank you, sorry. I know, I'm sorry.
That was pretty good.
I understood you.
I did.
Sorry. Right.
So this concludes this matter. Do you have any questions?
What is the 2-year probation? What is that?
Well, it's basically a time period for you to get everything done.
Okay.
Okay. So typically, if you get things done sooner than later, then you can petition for termination or probation. Does that make sense?
And then I would just send you guys an email or call.
Mm-hmm. I will send you an order, and then when you complete things, you send it to me. And when you're completed, you ask the board to terminate the probation. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. So that's what the probation is designed for. It also is, you know, you're somewhat looked at a little more scrutiny than usual, just because we're not gonna go visit you, but in case something happened between.
And
in the first
do I have to inform my employer that I'm on probation or anything like that?
No.
No.
No. There's no.
No. Your license is not restricted.
Okay. Yeah, you can practice.
You still have your license, okay? But you need to do X, Y, Z in order to maintain your license. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks again for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. You still have two items left on your agenda.
Yes, we have.
You have 5-2.
Well,
I was
going to go down to 6F just to
there
finish
you
up
go.
That block.
6F.
6F, case 17-25, Zachary Fiore.
And then, Mr. President, members of the board, I want to let you know that the document for the request for extension actually identifies the documentation course as my own. I did ask them to rewrite it, but I did miss the point that they did not take it out of the title of their request, and I will have them formally do that so that the record is clear that this is not my course, it's Ms. Hiller's course. I just volunteer at the course for records review.
Okay.
Thank you.
So is there any discussion, questions about his request for extension of board order?
I make a motion to approve Mr. Fiore's request for an extension.
Second. And discussion on the motion? Hearing none, I'll call the question.
Dr. Castillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
All right. The last item is 5A2. Review of and possible licensure of applicant with final CPI, Kylie Smiley. She's a foreign educated therapist, but she's worked in the United States, and she had you were able to see her latest CPI. I move that we allow her licensure in Arizona.
Second.
I'm sorry, we just have a moment to pull down the file.
Very good CPI.
Okay, so there's a motion on the table. It's been seconded. Any discussion? Okay, call.
Dr. Steele?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Okay, call to the public.
She made it all the way to the end.
Give her a gold star.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay. Then this meeting is adjourned.
Motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Well, we're supposed to roll call.
At 2:56.
Okay.